O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Christmas is a time of cuddling. As grandparents, I know what it means to have a child, a grandchild. And when you see one of these little things that we call babies, it is natural to desire that the child be brought and cuddled at your breast, male or female. And that's what Christmas has become. A time for us to cuddle with the child. Christmas is a time for children and for grandparents. A time for cuddling. The other holiday that happens and is happening right now is this 7 days later. Not only the circumcision of Jesus, but this time that we call New Year's. And New Year's is a kind of a funeral. This week between Christmas and New Year's, we review what 2011 was all about, which is exactly what we do at a funeral. 2011 is dead. A funeral is a place where the dead lie. And when we go to a funeral, it is most often nowadays to hear about the good things that the one who is lying there has done. Whether we actually did them or not makes no difference. A funeral is a time to reminisce about the good things of that which has died. In my bathroom, I have a magazine called World. It's like Time or Newsweek, only it's from a Christian perspective. It's in my bathroom because that's where I usually read it. And this last issue of 2011, on the cover, are pictures of people who died. For that's what happens when 2011 dies and 2012 is born. We review those who have died. And in the center of this particular magazine, there are 100 people who died during 2011. The notable ones. I've read through all of those, and there is no mention of a soldier who died in either Afghanistan or Iraq. None. There is no mention of a baby who was taken, kidnapped, and died. There is no person who died at the hands of the government. These weren't notable ones. But they died. What we usually look at this particular time, and what we usually look at when we look at this thing called Jesus, is what we want to see. The good things. I do not have a Christmas card that depicts the slaying of the innocents. I do not have a Christmas card that shows the fear of Jerusalem when the wise men came. I do not have a Christmas card that dances with those who were in Bethlehem at the time when Joseph and Mary arrived that day. There are two things going on in our world. There are those who understand what the word Jesus means. And there are those who don't know what it means, both inside the Christian church and outside of it. Jesus means, as he said, as the angel said to Joseph, and as that angel said to Mary, you are to call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. And that brought in conflict. A baby usually doesn't bring in conflict, but it does. We kind of forget the conflicts that we've had with our children or the conflicts that they have had with us. What we remember, what we want to remember, is those times of cuddling. I have a quote from a man named Ignatius of Antioch, and it says this about the birth. And there was agitation felt as to the origins of this new spectacle, so unlike anything else. Hence, every kind of magic was destroyed and every kind of wickedness disappeared. Ignorance was removed and the old kingdom abolished, God himself being manifested in human form for the renewal of eternal life. And what had been prepared by God began. Henceforth, all things were in a state of tumult because he mediated the abolition of death. Our world loves death. For that's all we know. We're living. We want to keep on living, but our end is death. And God came to abolish death, as so poignantly pictured in our collect for today. Let me read it again. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Human beings love to cuddle, and yet in our cuddlingness, there is a world outside of us that is in tumult. Both of those things are going on. And in the midst of both of those, God is working. God is working at Christmas. God is working 8 days after Christmas in our world. God made us wondrously. Took him 7 days to create that which is here. All of the starry hosts that we see in the heavens, all of the plants and the animals, our eyebrows, and all of the things that are going on in our eyebrows or our eyelashes, God created. He gave to us in 7 days. 6 days, he said, let there be, and there was. And on the sixth day, he took some mud, some dust, and he made Adam, formed him, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living human being. On the sixth day, he sent Adam sleep, and from his ribs took a rib bone and created Eve, and presented to Adam the most beautiful creature he had ever seen. "This is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." And after God had rested, God visited Adam and Eve in the twilight of every day. One day, he walked in, and Adam and Eve weren't there. "Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Are you hiding from me? Did you do something you weren't supposed to do?" "Yeah. I was naked, and I was hiding from you. What did you do?" "I ate the fruit from the tree that you told me not to eat." And God's world changed. In creation, God had given to his creatures his holiness. And they took that holiness and threw it back at God. They sinned. They were no longer allowed to live in a place of holiness. He kicked them out. And now, as our collect says, we were wondrously made. But in our redemption, God more wondrously brought us back. It took a lot more than 7 days. As our epistle lesson says, but at the right time, God sent forth his son. Cain wasn't the son of God. Neither was David or Solomon or any of the others who were king of Israel. Nobody. Except that baby born in Bethlehem to the Virgin Mary. And that came many decades, centuries, many thousands of years after Eve had heard the promise, "God, I will put enmity between Satan and you." God lived within the human sinful time, setting it up so that just at the right time and in the right place, his son would take into God that which he had created, human beings. And it's more wondrously because in creation, God gave to us his holiness. In our recreation, God gave up his right to be holy. When God became a son of Mary, was born in a womb, God was able to sin. He was able to sin as a baby. And as you and I know, babies sin. Toddlers sin. Jesus was a toddler. As a child within an elementary school age, they sin. Jesus lived through that. He lived as an adolescent. He lived as a 20-something. all through those things that inhabit us, that cause us to sin, Jesus lived through. And just one itty bitty sin would have destroyed God forever. That's why it is more wondrous what God did. He gave up himself, that which he is, for you and for me. He sacrificed his holiness, the possibility of him sinning for 30 years. And as we heard at the end of our gospel lesson, Jesus found favor with man and with God. He didn't sin. He lived through all of our temptations. He came into our world and experienced our hatred. And there, he was subjected to the cross, where he lay naked in front of those at the foot of the cross. And at his most vulnerable, he looked into the eyes of his Father and no longer saw his Father's love, because Jesus had become me. He had become sin. And what the Father sees when he sees me is my sin. And the only thing he can show me is not love, but hatred. Absolute hatred. Because he hates sin. And on that cross, his hatred was seen by his Son, the one called Jesus. Because that's what Jesus needed to see. Was a part of God that you and I no longer see. Because of what Jesus saw. And in seeing that hatred, a man on a cross who can't breathe out cries in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Having said that, the Father turns to his Son in love. It is done. And Jesus says the most beautiful words in scriptures. It is finished. What he came to do was done. You and I can now really cuddle this baby. You and I can run to this man called Jesus and give him the biggest hug that we have. Because I am no longer a sinner. I have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. What he came to do, he brought back. He brought me back. He brought us back into the garden, into God's holiness. So that on our deathbed, we can say those words that Simeon said as he cradled the baby Jesus into his arms. Now, I can die because I have seen the Lord's Christ. When you come to this altar and you receive into your hands bread and into your lips wine, you can say those very words, I have seen the Lord's Christ. Which is why we sing after our communion, Lord, now let us depart in peace. Because I'm ready to die. I am ready to meet my God. Standing and walking arm in arm with my Savior, I can dance down this aisle into my world, redeemed. Shall we pray this collect together? O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him, who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.